Colton.
He just jumped the fence.
The fence has been jumped, and now a two-day season finale is in the works, and it is all happening this week. This is the penultimate episode of You Play to Win the Rose. And normally I use that word incorrectly, but not this time. That means there will be one more episode left. He's Andrew Carter. I'm Ben Heisler. We decided that we wanted to collect our minds and try and figure out what the hell happened after last week. Let it stew for another week or so. So here we are ahead of the finale, watching everything that went down. And then we said to ourselves, you know what, let's just throw out the traditional rundown that we have for this show. Let's vent a little bit. Let's get this through and try and figure out what's going to happen. But Andrew, I know you had a busy week. You were in Boston. You have since returned, and you are all caught up.
Yeah, I'm all caught up. I actually didn't even know if I was going to be able to catch up with Women Tell All, but I was able to stay in this weekend and watch that. So all things considered, I was able to watch the fence jump on the road. I was working, but I made sure to be by the TV and watch it happen. I think my general reaction was, as much as it was hyped, it lived up to the hype. Like, I was bored. The episode wasn't that good. We all knew it was coming, but the fence jump itself, the physical fence jump, was freaking impressive.
Did you see all the different memes that were posted afterwards? Like, I think the Dallas Cowboys posted one to, like, if only we had known this, you had this type of ability back when you were playing for us, your NFL career could have lasted a little bit longer. And it was like him hurdling the fence.
That was amazing.
Like, Dallas Cowboys uniform. Yeah, that's the crazy thing, is that normally in these types of situations, The Bachelor does not live up to the type of drama and hype that it usually tries to set for itself, especially if it's over the course of several weeks. But once you started to finally understand how the episode was breaking down, you're right, it did live up to the hype. And I think the whole question now becomes, well, what the hell happens next? To me, I thought this ends the season. You can't go back. There is no recovery from this. Unless somehow Cassie decides to have a change of heart. But you can't go back to Tayshia. You can't go back to Hannah G at this point when you have full out confessed your absolute love for Cassie. I thought the episode, and I thought the season, basically had to end at this point.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to fill a two-night, two-hour special with what happens next.
I don't know either. Unless, if we're going to start to go ahead and get the process going. Let me ask you this before I give you my take on this. Do you think it's over with Cassie, or do you think she gets involved somehow, some way?
I think she'll be involved.
Just sort of like a sit down, like, hey, I need to decompress. I just jumped a fence and I need to talk about this.
Yeah, and it might be one of those things where she gets involved way later. Like, he goes and breaks up with the other two girls, and then they follow him, like, trying to win her back or something. Like, he calls her and is like, I broke up with the others. I want to come see you in California or something like that.
Okay. Do you think this is days later, weeks later?
Probably days or weeks later. I think he needs to, like, the show's going to say he's proving to her. Excuse me, a little sick. I think the show is going to try to have him prove to her that he wasn't just saying lip service. He really does want to win her love. And maybe that extra mile will change her heart. Which I don't think it will, but I think that's what they're going to try to fill the show with.
Did we? I guess I'm a little bit surprised in both of us how wrong we were about Cassie. We both knew that she was in the running. We both picked her as a Final Four contestant. But, I mean, we were both smitten in the sense by Hannah G and just sort of thought that she was a straight shot, clear-cut winner in all of this. Is there something you think that we missed along the way? Him figuring out that it was going to be Cassie the whole time?
I mean, I definitely had her in Final Two. I always was saying Cassie and Hannah G, it's over. Those two.
I think we both did.
Yeah, so we knew Cassie had a chance. I don't know why we were so blindsided by his infatuation for her. That's weird that we were really just thought Hannah G had in the bag. Maybe that's more a reflection on Hannah G's personality.
Could be.
And maybe it was the fact that watching it, you're just like, yeah, dude, Cassie's, like, just not as into you as Hannah.
Right. Well, so you think, so okay, so maybe it was more about the chase for him.
Right.
Interesting, because like from a physical standpoint, like it was two women that were clear cut above everybody else that he was into, just from that side of it, and it was Hanabi and it was Cassie. So we both saw that, but it always felt like Hanabi getting the first impression was like they connected, and so right. It was just a very easy path. And we also talked about on this show, like, Colton doesn't take a lot of chances. Like, I talked about it on a couple weeks ago. Like, he's the guy that's going to punt on 4th and 1.
Right.
So watching this all unfold was sort of like being a head coach who – it's like Sean McVay in the playoffs for the Rams, where everything was about being aggressive and taking chances and opportunities. And then in these clear moments where you have the opportunity to step on a team's throat – you instead punt on 4th and 1, or you try and kick a field goal, and something inevitably goes wrong and you sort of short circuit a little bit from what you traditionally believe in and what your values are. To me, Colton just kind of punted here and said, you know what, the hell with it. Like I need to take this chance, when the reality was like, that wasn't how you're built. He tried the 4th and 4 and just failed miserably and just fumbled in the end zone.
Yeah, and like this happens on the show where guys seem to go after the girl that isn't as into them as the other option. Like, clearly Cassie was having issues.
Do you think that's a competition thing?
Yeah, especially like, from a I feel former like NFL player. Just felt like he's like, oh, I can change her. I can make her love me more. And I don't know. It's like I struggle with it because I can see why he was so into her, because they had that connection from the very beginning. But over time, I don't know how it kept elevating, considering she never really seemed to elevate her love towards him. So it's almost like he was just like trying to buy time, and he was faking his relationships with other people, hoping Cassie would come around. And he went on this last ditch effort, and it still didn't happen.
One other thing too that caught my attention was, did it surprise you how blindsided Cassie was by the fact that her dad didn't give the, I guess, blessing? Because to me, it kind of felt like a cop-out in a sense, that she knew that things didn't go great. Like, this wasn't a complete and total surprise. But do you think she kind of used it as more of a cop-out of trying to just end the thing, because she just felt like it wasn't going in the direction that she wanted it to?
All right, when it comes to Cassie's dad, it's interesting to me because not only did he not give a yes to Colton, which then in part kind of gave Cassie this excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if off camera there was more discussion between them. Like, he knew she wasn't fully into it. She liked him but couldn't commit to it. She was afraid to break up with him because she's like, I've been so far along. And so there's that potential, or there is that kind of theory out there that they're just in it for the fame. Like, it almost seemed calculated. Like, they knew if it got to this point, they were gonna throw a wrench in the process. And
between Colton and Cassie,
well, that Cassie and Cassie's family are all about just kind of being part of the show. Okay. Like, even her dad, like, he says no, he gets a lot of camera time, he interviews a lot, and then all of a sudden he shows up during fantasy dates. Like, he's loving the camera.
Interesting. So this is about not necessarily growing fame for Cassie, but the whole Cassie family potentially has a little bit of stake in this.
Oh, yeah.
As a theory. This is an alleged theory.
Well, I mean, we know her sister's already kind of like Instagram famous or whatever. Cassie's now on the show. They've probably seen what it does for their family when they have followings and they're in the public eye. So all I'm saying is, it just seems so weird to me that Cassie saw how far along Colton was and just never could open up. She kept, like you said, it kept seemingly like she was just waiting for an excuse, and her dad gave that to her. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but overall it's just kind of shocking that it got to this point. And I don't know if we've ever seen one bachelor get dumped as many times as Colton.
Do you think her dad being there in Portugal was a spur-of-the-moment decision from her dad after the family visit, or do you think this was clearly a setup from the producers?
Oh, that was clearly set up once they saw what was going down with their conversations in Portugal.
I think you're right. Although, like, you, like, there's a part of you that's watching the show that goes, oh, man, like, that's totally a concerned dad, that someone that wants to be there for his daughter. And, you know, maybe he is, but I'm sure the producer said, hey, we'll expense you a trip to come out to Portugal and have this, you know, real authentic moment with your daughter and just try and change the history of The Bachelor forever.
Right.
I think that was a part of it.
Exactly. Excuse me. This is going to be named the Andrew is Sick episode. But the thing is, once Colton found out that her dad came out, he was pissed. He's like, the producers backstabbed me. They didn't tell me about this. They're trying to create drama. They don't want us to be together. And I think that's part of why he jumped the fence. Was like, I'm done with this crap. Like, I'm supposed to be The Bachelor. I'm supposed to have a chance at love, and you're making it harder for me.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Also, I saw this from The Ringer that in 21 of the past 22 seasons of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, the show has ended with a proposal. The only exception was the Juan Pablo season where he said, I want the relationship to continue, but I'm not ready yet for marriage. And basically, people and viewers ended up completely turning on Juan Pablo after he was the really popular pick from the season before on The Bachelorette. So let's say Colton ends up figuring something out. We're at the end of the season, whether it be Monday night or Tuesday night, and there is no proposal. Because he even said, like, I just want the relationship with Cassie to continue. Do you feel like the public is still on Colton's side? Do you feel like because of the fence jump and because he got his heart broken that people are still on board with him? Or do you feel like people are ready to move on?
It's probably mixed reactions. I think it's fair to have either, but I don't know how you can knock the guy for being the first person to actually, like, feel like they fell in love and really fight for it. Like, people are like, oh, it's so unfair to Tayshia, it's so unfair to Hannah. Yeah, it is, but they signed up for this.
Right.
And Colton ended up loving one girl, and he's going after it.
Right. So it just so happened to coincide with fantasy.
It's more authentic than many previous seasons.
For sure, but it also happened to coincide. I think people want it to be authentic, but they also want it to be, like, totally fair too, which isn't gonna happen. Like, he was ready to lose his virginity to Cassie. He was ready, like, that moment to admit to her, probably off camera, that she was going to be the one for him, and it just didn't happen. And because it didn't happen, then all of a sudden things changed, and now the show is in sort of complete and total chaos, or at least it's how it's being presented to the viewer. The problem is that people want the storybook ending even when they criticize The Bachelor for the traditional endings that it's had in the past. Like, you can't have both.
Right.
So that's
the
problem.
Why this season's awesome. I'll never forget this season.
Oh, for sure. Especially towards the end, because now you finally had something that went not just a little bit awry, but very much awry. Let's take a look at our prop bets from last week, because there's some that we actually had some pretty intriguing odds on, and I wonder how we have to figure it out from here on out. So the first prop that we had was, will we have a confirmed loss of virginity by the end of next week's episode? So the answer was sort of in two part, and it was no, because he didn't appear to lose his virginity with Tayshia. They kind of admitted they just stayed up all night talking and spending time together.
Yeah,
he
that
planned
was awkward.
Very awkward. He planned to with Cassie, which I think was clearly evident at this point. Sydney asked him on the Women Tell All if he had, and Chris Harrison wouldn't let him answer the question. So I think you have to pay out for no here.
Well, wait, I missed that. What did Sydney ask?
Sydney asked if he's still a virgin. And he wasn't able to answer the question.
Well, I mean, the show's technically over now too, so there's, like, time between the tapings and the Women Tell
Correct.
All.
Correct.
So that could be an awkward question for him given the timing of everything.
Right. But he could have still said, I think he could have still said one thing or the other. I don't know if it would have necessarily changed the course of the show.
Like,
maybe that's something for people to look forward to in the final week. I don't know.
Well, or he doesn't want to say, no, I'm not, because everyone's going to assume he lost on the show when, like, there's been weeks since the show. He could have all these girls all over him because he's single still or whatever. Like,
right.
There's a lot of scenarios there for that. But to your point, yeah, I feel like the answer still has to be no.
who will be the next contestant eliminated. It's funny, we made Cassie the favorite at minus 175. I guess you could make an argument that that wins because she left, but we also don't really know that for sure. And Tayshia and Hannah G are still around in Portugal. They just don't know their fate yet. So how do we pay this out? Is it just sort of an incomplete and everybody gets their money back?
Yeah, I guess everyone gets their money back. But if Cassie's never seen in the next two episodes, which is probably very unlikely.
Yeah.
I think you end up having to pay people out. But for the time being, it's money back. Hold on to the ticket.
We also had a major underdog come through in our final prop bet of last week, which was do all three women make it to the fantasy suite? We set yes at minus 500 and no at plus 325, meaning if you would have taken the no, put $100 down, you would have been $325 richer. So congrats to the underdog for cashing in on that one. That, I think, certainly was a surprise.
Yeah, that was crazy. And it was weird because the whole episode, I mean, you had Tayshia there a little bit, but then it was just basically Colton and Cassie drama for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, and there it was just them sitting and talking for an hour and a half until the fence was jumped. And we haven't even touched it yet. The best thing that happened in the show, I guess the fence jump has to be the best thing, but if that's 1A, 1B was Chris Harrison's response to the fence jump. He said, I think he said, oh, wow, Colton just jumped the effing fence. And it was just the way he said it and the way they captured it. It was perfect.
It was quintessential Chris Harrison. Like, he doesn't lose it often, and he didn't really lose it there. Like, even when he loses it, he still sounds very calm and collected. It's pretty impressive. I'd like to see Chris Harrison get mad about something. Like, genuinely upset and yelling.
Yeah, this is him. This is him upset and worried. Colton. Colton. I'm worried. Where are you? Come back. Colton, come back.
It's like that scene in That movie with I Love You Man, where Jason Segel and Paul Rudd are on the golf course with the two women, and Jason Segel swears that he hates playing golf with women because it just doesn't seem to work for him, and the friend is just holding everybody up and they're slowing down, and he's like, hey, we need to move along, and she sort of storms off and he just goes, please don't go, no, I'm really, really sorry, I feel terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how this has become. All right, so before we go, before we give a prediction on what ultimately ends up happening, I do have prop bets for the final two episodes here for tonight and for Tuesday night.
Real quick, I want to get into prop bets, and this will take 2 seconds.
Yeah.
When it comes to Women Tell All, I feel like Hannah B. is validated. If I'm going to pick a side on the Kaylin-Hannah B. feud based on what I saw, look, Kaylin's a nice girl. I don't think she means poorly. I just feel like she's a calculated person and says what she thinks people wants to hear. And I do believe she manipulates a lot more than Hannah B. does. From what I've seen throughout,
really,
and the way she acts and the way other girls were kind of saying, well, what Hannah B. said, you know, I just want to put it out there that if we're going to pick sides on this feud after a whole season, what we've learned, I've come around to saying I respect Hannah B. and I side with her.
She grew on us a little bit more, I think, especially once they started to put their beef behind them. And again, we credited Kaylin for that as well. I still have my potential issues with Hannah B., which we'll get to in a second. But ultimately, you're right. I think there was some validation. I still have concern for her inability to like put a sentence together and to make a toast, which I think is going to become a potential annoying point for her moving forward. But I think you're right. There was some validation there, especially, like, I don't know if you saw the gif of Katie after Kaylin said what she did and just had like an, oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
That was an amazing gift. And Katie is starting to grow on me as well. I'm starting to become a fan of hers. But I think that's perfectly fair. And I think the way I'd say it is both of them have their shit. Like, they each have their own shit. And, you know, we wanted to side with Kaylin a little bit more because how Hannah B. was presented in the beginning, with being very unhinged and not being able to sort of put everything together. But I think that's perfectly fair. All right, you ready for prop bets?
I'm ready.
Okay. Very simple. Do Colton and Cassie end up together at the end of the show? Yes, I have at... Actually, let's make it a perfect even split. Yes at minus 110, no at minus 110. Nobody's really sure as to how this is going to go down. So do you think that ultimately they end up together?
What defines together?
Not engaged, just like they come out on stage together after the final rose, or the show ends
okay.
with the two of them in a relationship together.
I'll say no.
Okay, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I think that as long as there wasn't the proposal attached to it, which Colton made very clear, then I think that there is a good chance that they end up together and let this whole thing play out. Second one. We talked about that he didn't confirm whether or not he lost his virginity during the Women Tell All. Will Colton confirm a loss of virginity after the final rose? Yes is coming up at plus 300. So that's the underdog here with no at minus 500. So where are you going on this?
I'm going to say yes.
Interesting. So you don't believe that Colton and Cassie end up together, but you're willing to say that you're going to take the value that he is now a confirmed non-virgin at the end of this.
Yeah, I feel like either he tried dating Cassie and was like, I'm going for this and I'm going to lose my virginity and then they break up anyways, or he gets so sick of the storyline that after the show he's just like, I'm going out in LA, I'm getting this done. I think there are a lot of scenarios here where there's potential that he's not a virgin anymore, and it'd be a great curveball to end the season. I just think it's too perfect, so I'm going to say he'll say that he has lost it.
Okay, I'm going to agree with you, but I do think it'll be to Cassie.
Okay.
I think they are together. Last one, and this is an intriguing one. I don't know if you have read some of the rumors that are going around, and I have not confirmed anything. But there are a lot of reports that they have decided on who the next Bachelorette is going to be, and I don't know if you've heard any of them.
Oh, I haven't. Who? What are the rumors? Like, I'm being genuine. I have no idea.
The right now the top rumor is that your next Bachelorette will be Hannah B.
Oh, I'd love that.
Really? You would love that? Oh no, I have zero.
I would love that because like
I have zero interest in it.
Here's the thing. They like her because she screams at the camera. She does crazy, quirky things.
She does.
Like, here's, I get why you wouldn't like it. She's not going to be able to talk very well. She's not good with her words. It's going to be like pulling teeth to get through the season.
It's just everything's going to be pre-written for her.
Completely. But for me, I watch the show for the sheer just chaos and entertainment value, which is why I'll always remember this season, because it's not the most exciting. There's been way better dates. There's been way better
one-on-ones.
There's been way better connections, but like, it's been chaotic, and I can see that happening with Hannah B. too.
That's fair. I just don't. If you were asking me to choose between Tayshia, Hannah G., well, okay, so let me give you the prop bet.
Okay.
Who will be the next Bachelorette? With the rumors about Hannah B., I have her at minus 1,000. So, you know, basically you have to give up $1,000 to win $100. She's the overwhelming favorite. But they have not confirmed anything. So I still think there's a chance for somebody else to slide in. So I also put Hannah G at plus 400 and Tayshia at plus 1600. I think Tayshia's the way super sleeper underdog to potentially slide in case Hannah B bails out and then Hannah G says, nah, I'm not interested. I already have a great thing going. Do you just go and ride with the favorite here?
Gosh. So if you wouldn't have told me anything, I would have guessed Hannah G just because she's smart, she talks well, she could lead a show, she's gorgeous.
She's been a very likable character throughout
the show. I don't know what her age is, I don't even remember, but she doesn't come
like
across.
23, 24 maybe?
Okay, so it's on the younger side, but she doesn't come across super immature.
Yeah.
So that's probably who I would guess. I feel like obviously she looks good on camera. So there's a lot of reasons why the show would pick her.
Yeah.
So if you didn't tell me anything, I would still probably go with Hannah G, and that's probably who I would hope would get it.
Okay.
So I'll just put my money on that because we have no rumors confirmed. I just the Hannah B thing, I would be entertained, but it's not saying I would like that more than Hannah G.
That's fair. I think I have to go with the favorite here. I feel like this that sort of stems out of this for a reason. I don't know why they would start it with Hannah B. if there wasn't any sort of truth there.
Well, did you realize that Chris Harrison looked at her and was like, I really hope you do find that fearless love. Like, during Women Tell All, that was like the last thing he said
to her.
Oh,
that's a good film session pull out of you.
Yeah,
I didn't
and they
say
like
that.
Had their toast and everything. She's like, I just want to find someone. And he's like, well, he said, cheers to that, and here's to finding that fearless love. And it was almost like cryptic. Now that you're telling me that information, that stands taller in my head than it did before now.
Very, very interesting. I mean, I told my wife, too, that if they choose Hannah B. And again, it's not that I have anything against Hannah B., but, and you're right, like, I think there is potential for chaos, which yes. is entertaining, but I don't know. I feel like it's going to be difficult to root for her when I don't find her to be authentic.
Well, it's going to bring out different guys, too. Like, I think Hannah B's sweet. She's great. She's cute. But, like, you got to be a certain person to be compatible with her personality. So it's not going to be – I don't think, like, the macho man, the Colton, or, like – the typical gym rat guy that is on the show is the fit for Hannah B. Like, me and you, we're pretty average dudes. Like, I feel like we have decent personalities. That's why we have awesome wives. But, like, that's what got us through. I feel like that's the kind of guy that would fit for Hannah B.
Right, which, you know, depending on the show, isn't going to necessarily make for the most drama.
Right.
So you're going to have a lot of fire and ice happening, I would imagine.
Totally. Yeah, so, and okay. also she'll be picking the guys that are, like, you know, they do abs like once a year, but they're cool and they have decent jobs.
Right, those are the guys that she should be picking, but have to imagine. Here's okay. You want a prediction?
Yeah.
I think as this season went on, and you started to feel like, okay, clearly Hannah G was the shoo-in, Tayshia was sort of the dark horse looking in, and Cassie was just like we didn't know she was the wild card. I think next season, assuming Hannah B is the Bachelorette, will come down to the guy that is the complete and total perfect fit for her, that doesn't care about the fact that she's sort of all over the place. And then the one guy that everybody watching at home knows is terrible for her, but he's the bad boy that kind of leads her on that chase. And she's going to have to try and figure out between the two of them which one she likes. And she'll have that internal struggle of like, so-and-so is the guy that I always go for, and it's never worked for me, and I really do like the other guy, but, you know, I keep getting pulled in that direction. So I think there's going to be a lot of public pressure for Hannah B. to choose the guy that's actually right for her at the end.
I think you're spot on. You just basically, we don't even have to watch next season. We know what's going
to
happen.
There you go. Just listen to the podcast. We'll fill you in for everybody else. So for Andrew, I'm Ben. Thank you guys for listening to another edition of You Play to Win the Rose. We'll be back sometime soon. I am traveling throughout the week. So this is my shout out to Southwest Airlines for hoping that your TV connection on the plane comes through. Last time I was on, I was watching a substantial... it was the Chiefs game against the Patriots. And that came through. Sometimes it doesn't. I need you, Southwest. Bachelor finale tonight. Don't let me down. And we'll be back very soon to wrap this whole thing up. So for Andrew and Ben, we'll talk to you guys soon. This was You Play to Win the Rose.
Peace. Take a piece of tinsel and put it on the tree. Turn a slice of melon and pretend that you still love me. Car and